buddy. What up, and welcome to the show. We are live on YouTube. www.youtube.com/a lot of fucking numbers because we got to get the 50 subscribers.
Oh,
we're also
there.
Live we're on Facebook. There. We're almost live on Facebook. We're live on Facebook as well. You know, we've got whatever. You know, we got everybody here. We're doing doing a lot of good stuff today. We are the Slaw Office with Russo, and Peretti. As you can see right now, we have two, the real Russo, and then obviously the Peretti, Nick Bob, in the house. The other one is here. He's just got technical difficulty. So as soon as he gets his shiznit together, we'll throw him on the screen. But we are going to...
Rest in peace to Russo's internet.
I know. Something's going on. I'm watching his garage door open or whatever, wherever he's at. I don't know what he's doing. So we're doing a draft special. We're going to mock draft. This is a... this is our mock draft. We did it. We basically went in order, 1 through 32. Obviously, Nick took every 1, 4, 7, so on and so forth. Kyle taking 2, 5, 8, so on and so forth. And I took obviously the following, and then we talked about some stuff as far as 31 and 32 with the two Super Bowl teams. The Bengals, obviously the Bengals and, well, it's the Lions, actually, not the two Super Bowl teams, I'm sorry. But it was the Bengals and the Lions because of the trade with the old Jared Goff machine. I'm looking up, I think I'm looking up teams.
Probably draft order, Look up the
draft
order.
Well, no, I'm looking at, I want to start with, I want to start with one quick topic. I want to talk about the college football poll. And the one, what is he? The one, he's the ones. They don't even know his name. I want to start doing some college football poll. They released the first college football poll, right?
Mm-hmm. The top 25.
Yeah, I don't. I'm
is that the AP?
Pull it up.
That's not AP.
No, it's not AP. This is a different ranking. Kyle, what was the one that they pulled up? Because
there he is. Oh, my.
The college football poll, the new one. They just dropped it like 2 days ago, right?
I didn't even see it.
No, really? Wow, that's.
I don't.
I do have one. I do have one that was dropped. I know. They dropped one out. I know. Well, I'm running through it. This was the ESPN top 25 poll for the 2022 season.
I want to say CBS Sports might have dropped one or something like that. Right?
I don't know. ESPN's got one they put out like
the way too early one. They all do them.
This was a couple weeks ago or something, but there was an updated version here recently. But Auburn's at 25, Florida State's at 24, BYU at 23, Ole Miss at 22, Kentucky at 21. By the way, this is very heavily SEC loaded. If you didn't know. Miami's at 20, Minnesota at 19, Florida at 18. I don't know how. 17 is Michigan State, Penn State at 16.
You think that's too high for Florida or too low?
I don't know. I think it's too high. You went 2-6 in the SEC. You didn't even have a winning record. Couldn't make a bowl game.
But there's a lot of hope. There's a lot of hope for Anthony Richardson right now. I mean, and
there's a lot of hope in a lot of leagues.
Yes, dude. But when you but when the hope is in a quarterback and you actually there's belief that he's a superstar, there's a lot more than just hope. There's film. There's film on what he's done and what he's capable of.
They got Florida at 18. I
think that's fair.
Yeah, that's
I don't know. I don't know if they top 20. I mean, 22, 23, maybe.
For a program like Florida, that's almost like a prove it. Like, they're like, hey, you're ranked, but go beat some teams and move
lose
up
one
lot.
Game and you're gone. Yeah, lose one game and you're right out of there. It doesn't really hurt anything for the
bowl. Yeah, I don't think you're out of there, but I'm just saying, like, if you handle business through the first 5 weeks, you'll be a top 8, 9 team, top 10 team.
Okay, Nick.
3 or 5 in LSU.
Nick, who's your who does Florida play first 3 weeks of the season, you know? Cupcake Central?
Off the top, no, usually not. Usually within the first 3 weeks, we'll have our our first SEC opponent. It used to be Tennessee every year, but lately it's been changing. You kind of see Kentucky a little bit earlier in the year. But.
All right, so 17 is Michigan State, 16 is Penn State. Let's get into the top 15. Tell me if anything stands out real quick. NC State at 15, Utah at 14, Pitt Panthers at 13, Mississippi State at 12, Cincinnati at 11, Wisconsin at 10, Tennessee at 9.
Tennessee at 9.
That's pretty high.
That's really high.
That's pretty high.
Yep. Hold on. Sorry. Hold on. Let me finish. Sorry. I don't know what happened to the internet. Kind of chugged.
I'm not certain they've released the schedules in full yet.
No, Notre Dame at 8, Oklahoma at 7, Texas A&M at 6, Clemson at 5, Michigan at 4, Alabama at 3, Georgia at 2, Ohio State at 1.
I think you know which teams you're playing already this year, but I don't know if you know which order you're playing them in yet.
Everybody knows the order already.
I think
honestly, I thought Pitt, the first one that stood out to me was Pitt. That's really high to lose their all time. You know what I'm saying? And Pitt was nowhere to be found the last decade. So for them to lose their quarterback that kind of had them relevant, it does shock me a little bit to have them at 13.
They got them at 13, and the only person they really have is that big dog receiver, Addison. Is the only guy they're bringing back really? That's their production now. What's his name? Ken Slovis transferred there. Slovis, you remember that, Kyle? You know that name, that quarterback, Keaton Slovis or whatever he was.
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
So actually, Florida has an opportunity to prove it early. That's probably why they ranked him 18, because it's a week one matchup against Utah. So they're probably trying to have that game have a little bit of.
And Utah is what?
I think you said 14? Utah was in the top 15. Yeah,
14. Well, yeah.
I mean, it's
so they're going to put some stank on that game.
Well, it's surprising when you have Tennessee in the top 10. That's ridiculous. And then you have
ridiculous. That's the one that stood out to me.
I thought Pitt stood out, and then Mississippi State at 12 stood out to me. I didn't think.
This Utah game is going to be big.
I mean, when you look at that, Mississippi State and Tennessee, he finished with the same record, 4-4.
What day do y'all play the opener?
September 3rd.
Okay, that's a Saturday, right?
Usually, I mean, I can't say for sure right now that far ahead. I don't know.
Okay.
The Sunday game is usually like Clemson or somebody.
Rattle off Florida's schedule real quick.
Utah, Kentucky, USF, Tennessee, Eastern Washington, Missouri, LSU, bye week, Georgia, A&M, Texas A&M, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Florida State.
Who's your second and third game again?
Kentucky and USF. So our out of conference is Utah, Florida State, USF, and Eastern Washington. And then our cross conference is LSU and A&M.
I mean, that's not bad. You're playing Utah.
No.
We just played A&M last year. I guess this would be the home and home. This would be the second part of the home and home for A&M.
Yes.
Because if we didn't play last season, we've definitely played within the last two or three years.
No,
I remember talking about it on the podcast.
It like skips like home and away like every 4 years, and then you don't play for like 7.
I don't know. It's a weird schedule. The SEC is all over the place.
Yeah, they're about to try and move stuff around.
But no, I think what you're used to as a Florida fan is like when you go out and play a team like Utah, even though they're ranked, they shouldn't belong on the same field as you. They shouldn't have the same athletes. No. They shouldn't be the same size. They shouldn't be as fast. So if they do look like they belong, then that's going to show a lot to what you should expect from Florida this year. If Utah looks like they belong with Florida, whether they're ranked ahead of them or not, I think that's going to show a lot of what Florida is moving forward.
I think for me, it just depends. Like, because, I mean, Utah already has, their brand built. They've established something. I think for Florida, it would be – okay, if it's close in the first half, that's fine. But let's see, a pull away in the second half, early in the second half, midway through the third quarter.
Kyle, one second. Hey, guys, just if you're tuning in on Facebook, sorry, I don't know what happened with the delay on the Facebook Live. We are live on Facebook. We're cutting in here. You're tuning in as Law Office. The guys on the podcast, you got to see the first 10 minutes, 11 minutes, which was our top 25 for NCAA. We're touching on that. And then we're going straight to here once Kyle finishes his point here real quick. He's got about 30 seconds to do it. Then we're going straight to the NFL draft. We're doing our mock draft. We all took teams in chronological, alphabetical Cincinnati sucks order. And we're here. Ooh, we're going to go.
Sucks order.
Yeah. I'm sorry, sharing that to Facebook so they know we're here. Anyways, everybody listen up. We're here. We're live. Kyle, finish your point, then we're getting to the mock draft. We're ready to start. Clock, by the way. The GM of the Jacksonville – are you Jacksonville Jaguars are on the clock. Finish your point, Kyle. We'll start the draft.
No, that was it. It was just basically if Florida, you know, doesn't pull away early on Utah. It's really if that second half – because, I mean, you got to expect in a season opener like that, it's going to end up being a close game, at least for the first half.
You got two top 20 teams, so we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, if it's Bama, I mean, they're already established. They're going to blow a team like that out. They're going to blow out Utah. But, you know, Billy Napier's first year in Florida, and, I mean, I wouldn't expect a blowout in the first half. I would expect a close game, and then midway through the third quarter, start seeing – dominance and start seeing, you know, that edge.
Well, we're going to find out soon. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, we are now going to start the 2022 Slow Office mock draft. Ladies and gentlemen, the Jaguars and Nick Peretti are on the clock. Tick, tick, tick.
Excellent, excellent. So I'm going to start it off. I'm going to create the standard here, too. It's going to be quick, and then I want to make sure you guys get an opportunity to kind of tell me your feedback on it. But the Jaguars are going to select Aiden Hutchinson. I think it's an easy pick. He is the best player in the draft by a wide margin, in my opinion. I think some of the other players at his position could possibly be stars later. But this kid's gotten better each and every year. He showed progress, and I think he's going to translate well to the NFL.
Yeah.
I got something going on right now.
I know. Trust me. I know what I'm doing. I'm trying to get this going on. This is if I get Nick Bob off of it.
There we go.
This is Aiden Hutchinson.
There we go.
The first overall pick in this mock draft. You went Aiden Hutchinson. I mean, what is your look at what Aiden Hutchinson? I don't know why it's so loud, by the way.
It's not too bad.
Okay. Aiden Hutchinson, obviously the standout Heisman finalist, right?
Yeah.
Why Hutchinson over anybody else at all?
Like, you can't make a mistake at one. You cannot take a chance at an upside player. You have to go for as close to the for sure thing as you can. And I think that there are a couple in this draft, but they always say, you know, there's only a few big, large human beings on this planet that can move the way some of these guys at the top of the draft can. And, you know, because of that, I think you have to take one of them. And I think Aiden Hutchinson fits what the Jaguars need. I think it fits a position of need for them. And I think he fits the personality and what they're trying to build culturally.
Okay. Well, that was about as sophisticated as an answer as you're going to get, folks.
That is a GM answer from a diehard Jag fan.
fits the culture, yada, yada, yada.
I mean, I thought about this. I thought about this long and hard. I mean, I've agonized over this pick, and I hope that they make the right decision. And even if it's not him, I hope it's the right guy.
Well, here's the deal for me. I don't know why you're agonizing over the first pick. It's not like you're going to have – that's not going to be your only first pick in the next decade. So
yeah, oh, no, it will be. It'll be our last pick. Before Trevor Lawrence, we had never had one in a number one overall pick, so –
All right.
To just assume we're going to have more, that's ridiculous.
The first pick, Aiden Hutchinson. Second pick in the draft is going to go to the Detroit Lions. GM Kyle, you're in Detroit now. You're on the clock. Talk to me. What you got?
I'm going to make this quick. I mean, for Detroit, I think they need help in the back end. So I'm going to go with Kyle Hamilton. I mean, he's a big, rangy safety. Was he 6'4", 220? I mean, can lay the wood, can play sideline to sideline. So, I mean, it's a no-brainer at this point. I think he's, you know, one of the best available on the board anyway. So, we'll take Kyle Hamilton.
So, second pick in the draft.
Oh, Robbie's on his game tonight.
Hey, listen. First of all, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm really trying to get this. I don't have a producer. Okay.
I like it because I feel like Mel Kiper right now. So hold on. I know. Hush up, Rob, because I'm talking right here. Here's the range that I'm talking about.
Oh, the range.
So here it is. Just beautiful cut on the ball. I mean, you don't see it on the first part of the video, but he's playing on the right hash, and he runs all the way to the numbers, to the sideline, to the left. Here he is again.
Yeah, I mean, it's the undercut. Same play over and over again. All I need to know, I mean, and all I want to tell you, Mel Kiper, this is Todd McShay tuning in. You also got to acknowledge the fact that the quarterback underthrew that ball. So that's
horrendously, but that's fine because look, it's all
he has to be in position to make that play. He has to be in position to make that play.
And you got to think it's a real life play, NFL, a real NFL play because there's pressure off the edge. A quarterback's on the run. And he's just trying to get rid of the football. So this
and that's not his man. That wasn't his man. He saw that. He read that.
Yeah.
Saw the quarterback getting flushed out and just made a play, knowing where the only place the ball could go.
And that's understandable. But you know, with the culture in Detroit, the MCDC, you know, Dan Campbell and all this stuff, like, is that a Dan Campbell pick, though, honestly? If you see Kyle Hamilton go off the board at two,
well, it's,
we're
it's,
not saying
well,
it's happening.
Well, that's,
but
that,
is
that's
that
not
a,
the
is
point? That no, a, the point was, if I'm the GM and I'm running things for Detroit, what I think and what I would want them to need, I would think and I would want for me if I'm there. I don't know if it's a Dan Campbell pick. I don't know. But, I mean, the kid does come downhill and play and tackle in the box. So, I mean, he could be or couldn't be. I don't know. But I would think in that position, you need a playmaker either on offense or defense. And why not get the – I believe the guy that's, you know, higher on the board. And he just happens to be on defense.
You know, and you can only name a handful of safeties in a league that you would say are like elite safeties. And this kid could be that in his rookie year or in his second year in the league. And you're not, and for the next 5 to 8 years. So with that, I think he deserves a top five pick.
I'm not going to sit there and say he's not a bad pick. There's no way.
You're looking at a guy that could play 12, 15 years in the league. I mean, he could come downhill and play in the box or he can cover. So, I mean, when, you know, later in his career when his legs aren't there, he could play in the box. I mean, he's big enough to convert to a linebacker. He's 6'4", 220. So, I mean, I think this is a guy that's going to be in the league for a long time unless he just doesn't have his head on straight.
Well, and
I don't think that's a problem.
There's a couple of players in this draft that are like that, by the way, just so you know. There are a couple players in here that I believe that's what hurt them when it comes to their draft. And we'll see. We'll get to it. We'll see it when we get there, but we'll see what happens. I don't know why.
Rob, you're on the clock.
I'm on the clock.
Who's your pick?
Houston Texans. Literally, like, if you look at any mock drafts on the Houston Texans, you look at any board, anything out there, it literally says team needs is everything. Like, there's not a mock draft that says, hey, you know what? This is what I want. This is who I want. So on and so forth. Honestly,
Josh therapist.
You might as well just take it. I don't know what I just pushed. Give me a second. I'm going with Trevon Walker.
Ooh, that's high.
Definitely. I mean, I don't know. I figure he seems to be a top 10 player.
They've mocked him to the Jags at one, but I just think that
I don't think he's going to go one. I think you're looking at somebody like Aiden Hutchinson is more of a number one than Trevon Walker. I think Trayvon Walker, I don't mean to butcher his stuff, but you can watch here. I mean, he is on the edge. He holds the edge. He does exactly what he needs to do. He's strong. The kid's strong. He's going to be a monster of a man when it comes to the league, and he's going to come off the edge, and he's going to pressure. Texans, in my opinion, Texans need somebody to help. J.J. Watt is gone. I'm not saying this kid's going to be J.J. Watt, but they need that presence again.
Oh, he's a physical freak. He's an animal.
Oh, yeah. They need that presence on the front four. You know, I don't have all his physical – combine pro day stats, but I know that, I mean, the kid's strong, the kid's fast, and the kid's going to make a lot of plays.
The one thing I liked, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Robbie. The one thing I liked about the kid is he showed up when he did have stats, even though his production was really skewed, it was always in the big games. When he did have a sack, it was against George, or it was against Clemson. It was against Alabama. Like, he showed up in the games when they played their tougher opponents. And he's one of those pieces that because he's so physical, they moved him inside, outside. They put him on as a linebacker, on the defensive line in multiple positions. So because of that, maybe that might have skewed his production, but I think based off his production, it's hard to take him that high.
Yeah, I like I said, to me, it was you get into a point where it's like, you know, who do you want? I mean, I could have gone Kayvon Thibodeau, the Texans, and you know, his production his senior year with the injuries and stuff like that. I'm like, you know what, dude, I'm not even gonna try it. He's lightweight. He does remind me a lot of Clowney and Kayvon, I think. But as far as pick, I really think that the Texans.
Yeah, you can't go wrong.
I don't think it's a reach.
No, he's a stud. He's a freak. Like we just said, he's a freak. I mean, he's going to make plays. I mean, it's, you know, so what do you prefer at that point?
Right. So, anyways, fourth pick of the draft, the Jets. The New York Jets are on the clock. Team that
needs everything.
Yeah,
they,
so
they need one too, and they've got plenty of picks to do it. So
I like the Jets. See. I like the Jets' options here. You know, honestly, I kind of felt like if Detroit didn't get the option to draft a hometown player in Aiden Hutchinson, that they might reach the opportunity to grab the other hometown kid in Sauce Gardner. But in this case, he slips to four. And the Jets, man, like you said, they have a bunch of needs, but they're going to take Sauce Gardner right off the board. The dude's 6'3". He runs a 4.4. His arms are like tree limbs. I mean, he's going to be a lockdown corner in this league. He's going to make a name for himself. He might not even have a whole bunch of interceptions. He does have ball skills, but he might be that player that you just don't throw on his side of the ball. I like, even though Darrell Revis wasn't quite as big, I think he plays a lot like him when I see him on film. That's the kind of the body style, the long strider, and that's kind of who I see his NFL comp.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you. I think Sauce is a mod, whatever he's called nowadays, or whatever he's going to be called in the future. I think he's a hell of a ball player. I think he is. I think he made a big statement his senior year. I really do. Nobody really knew of him. I mean, he was known a little, but not enough. I think this year, though, and Cincinnati being good, being able to be up there, I think that also allowed for him to showcase his talent. He could have been a late riser. I thought he would have been more of a mid-round pick if Cincinnati's not where they're at nationally. You know what I'm saying? So... but I think he was able to showcase his talent. He was able to get on the board. I think it's a great pick. I mean, the Jets need a lot of people.
At one point, Derek Stingley was the guy for me.
Derek Stingley was the guy 2 years ago.
The number one CB spot, it was Derek Stingley without a doubt. But, I mean, I know a guy who had the Liz Frank surgery, and in his experience, the pain never truly goes away. And don't get me wrong, the kid ran a 4.37, but that straight line speed and – after a 17-game season, how long is he going to be able to continue that? So I just wouldn't draft him that high. Not that I wouldn't want him on my team.
Well, Sauce Gardner goes four. Fifth pick in the draft. Kyle, you're the GM of the Giants now. Who are you taking? Well,
My thing with Sauce is like, I mean, who really heard of him even midway through the year last year when – Cincinnati was still.
That's what I'm saying. Nobody heard of him.
Hey guys. Who heard of Richard Sherman? Who heard of Josh Norman? Who heard of Josh Bradbury? These guys can be.
But those guys weren't top five picks.
Position that could be a late bloomer.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not.
But they're not top five picks, Nick. We're not knocking. We're saying, but they weren't.
But they became valuable enough to have been taken that high.
Yes, probably.
Yeah, years down the line, they wasn't their first year in the league.
But he showed out like they have. We'll in see. 1 year, even if it go was ahead, one Carl. Year, he showed out.
Go ahead, Carl. Sorry. Make your Sorry. Point, and we'll move on to the next pick.
No, I mean, I was just saying we haven't seen him week in, week out consistently against premier talent, against other premier schools. So, I mean, I wouldn't exactly trust it, but I'm not saying the kid's not a ball player and a stud. I'm just saying I'd be more cautious about him that high. And not seeing him week in, week out versus actual, you know, talent that he's going to really be seeing on Sundays.
So Trayvon Walker at three and Sauce Gardner at four. Who's a safer pick?
I think I think Walker, because I mean, he's going to make more plays for you as far as in the run game and in the pass game. He's going to affect the pass rush. He's going to affect the quarterback, and he could stop in the run game, you know, more effective than what Sauce Gardner is going to be. Sauce Gardner could be a lockdown guy, but I mean,
well, you got to realize
it also depends if you're, you know, elite at corner, you have to be a lockdown guy with a lot of interceptions. You can't just be a lockdown guy that gets deflections and just, you know, pass breakups or just, you know, tight coverage. You have to be a guy that gets turnovers as a ball hawk. So
right.
We'll see if that translates, because as of right now in college, he is that. So we'll see if it translates, but he hasn't played top tier, you know, week in, week out. But I'm not hitting on the pick. I'm just saying that's my point of view of it.
Right. Okay. But well, let's move on. Let's get to the fifth pick.
Is going to be Kayvon Thibodeau with the Giants. I feel like the Giants, anytime they, you know, go far or get to the playoffs, you know, or 9-7 and make the playoffs and make a run in the playoffs, they have good pass rush. Kayvon Thibodeau reminds me of Justin Tuck. And I think he's, you know, sturdy. He's also very good in the pass and in the run game. So I think it's a solid pick right there for the Giants if they take Kayvon Thibodeau.
Okay. I mean, I like the pick. I'm not mad at the pick at all. I think it's a good pick. Kayvon, to me, I mean, he's somebody that could be, I guess, anywhere in the top three, top five, anywhere on that board. I feel like if somebody doesn't pick him in the top five, there's something more to it than that. I don't think he should fall outside the top five. That's just my personal opinion on that. So, Nick, real quick on Kayvon.
Part of me still thinks he can go one. I think it's all about how the Jaguars evaluate him when they have their own personal meetings. I think ultimately they go edge, so it's all about who their number one edge rusher is. Kayvon Thibodeau was the guy for years and years. I don't really know what happened. They say off the field, but I think a lot of that's smoke. I don't think there's any fire there.
All right. Well, we're to the first five picks. Now to pick six, that'll be me and the Carolina Panthers. You know, the talk is there. So I'm going to go with the talk. They're the team that needs him the most. It's
who they're talking about.
Malik Willis. I think that he's going to be the first quarterback off the board.
Whoa.
I think he goes to Carolina. This is some junior stats just because this is what I pulled up because the other side doesn't have it. So there you go. But I think Malik Willis is the guy from Liberty to be the first quarterback on the board to the Carolina Panthers at six. The guy actually showed out in his pro day. He did he made all the throws. It's a pro day thing, but, I mean, the kid made all the throws.
Did he do it in pads and helmet? Did he do it in shells like Johnny?
Hey, bro, can't nobody do it like Johnny. But don't get me started, bro.
If you ain't got dudes out there chasing you around with a broom, you ain't doing
it. Hey. All I got to say is him and Team Obliterator is killing the Fan Control Football League. So don't start with me.
Oh, yeah. I see it.
So, anyways, I think Malik Willis goes. I think Malik Willis is first quarterback off the board. I don't know. I just think he'll be that guy. He'll be the first one.
Is he your QB1? Is he your QB1, Robbie?
I don't know if he's
that high. I don't think he's QB1 day one. I think you roll the dice at Carolina. You roll the dice with Darnold. Give this kid 1 year, and then you throw him in there. Plain and simple. I think you give the kid a year, let him understand, because he has to adjust to the speed of the NFL. I think that's the same thing that's going to happen to Sauce Gardner. I think, honestly, with defensive linemen and linebackers, most of the time, those two have the easiest transitions. Yes, these running backs and receivers are faster, but I think they have the transition's easier because you're already an athletic specimen. So you push in, you go right into it. I think you fit in well. I think Kayvon Thibodeau, I think Aiden Hutchinson, Walker, all these guys that are on these boards, like in that range, I think they fit in well. I don't think Malik Willis is ready for the pro speed. He could prove us all wrong. I think you give him a year. Let him sit. Let him learn the speed of the game. Put him in when Carolina's down by 25. Let him get some touches, whatever it's going to be. But I think Willis is the guy next year for Carolina. I don't know. That's just my opinion on that. I'm done with it. From here on out, what we'll do, like, you make your pick. Nick, you're next on the board. The Giants, make your pick. Tell us why you like them. We ain't going to touch on it too long. We'll keep ours to a hush hush. We'll just let you be the GM and do your own thing.
I think the top five picks are the most important ones anyway, the ones everybody's looking for.
Yeah, for sure.
Kyle picked Kayvon Thibodeau. I like it a lot for the New York Giants. And I think they stay, you build in the trenches, and they go on the offensive line this time with Evan Neal.
Okay. I like Evan Neal.
Yep, solid.
I mean, it was either him or Ekwonu off the board first. I like Evan Neal. I think he's the better overall complete player. So it's a good pick. I like
it. Yep, sturdy. He's sturdy.
Kyle, you're next up. Falcons.
With the Falcons, I'm gonna take a this, like I said, this is me. It could be a reach as far as I think eight picks. You know, he wasn't slotted to go this high. About seven or eight picks later, but I like the position I'm at. Or I don't like the position I'm at. If I'm, you know, the Falcons at wide receiver, so I'm going Treylon Burks. You know, you lose Russell Gage, you don't have Ridley. I need a playmaker outside of Pitts, and it's gonna have to be.
What is the advantage of Burks over guys like Wilson, Olave, London, and Jamison Williams?
Him and London Why are Burks? A lot alike. I would say him and London are a lot alike. I think he's more physical as far as breaking tackles than London is. I think London might be. It's hard to say because Treylon Burks is elite at catching the ball at the highest point, but London is very good at it as well. But I see Treylon Burks. I mean, he could return punts. He's a menace on the field. He gives everyone issues. He makes highlight reel catches at least two or three times a game. The guy's just ridiculous. He breaks tackles. He's strong. He's physical. He checks all the boxes. So Treylon Burks, for sure.
Yep. I mean, if he goes that high, he will definitely be the surprise of the draft, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not gonna, but
we'll see. I'm not saying it's going to happen.
Preference and in preference, as far as that goes,
right?
I think there's better secondary play in the SEC than there is in the Pac-12. Now, it's not saying this. You know, he's playing bums out there, but I just think Treylon Burks is, you know,
right. That'll work.
I think it's a home run. I think it's high. But I also think he's wide receiver one. I know a lot of people may not agree with that, but it's exactly what Kyle said. But it's the point of attack when the ball gets when you got two guys going for the ball. If Treylon Burks' hands is on it, he's getting it. It doesn't matter what cornerback he went up against. And it's like Kyle said, he went up against a lot of good defensive backs in the SEC week in and week out, and he got separation. And people say he's raw. I think the only thing he's raw maybe on is his route running. Outside of that, at the point of attack, he's going to beat you. He gets off the line better, off press coverage really well because he's extremely physical. And I see him a lot like a DeAndre Hopkins, just a little bit. I think he might be a little bit more athletic than DeAndre Hopkins. Doesn't have to push off to get open.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see. Number nine is going to be Seattle. Well, you took Neil, and I was like, all right, well. You know, and I mentioned it. Ekwonu was the other one. As far as tackles, I feel Seattle really needs that. There's a couple other needs in Seattle. You know, quarterback being one. But at this point, I thought about taking a quarterback. I just didn't know what quarterback to take. I felt like I'm not a fan of any of them. Not even Malik Willis. I mean, I think Carolina is the most necessary as far as taking a quarterback, but I went with the next best option, in my opinion, which was Ikem Ekwonu, the tackle from NC State, which some people have him going ahead of Neil. I had Neil in this slot if he was there, but Ekwonu was my guy. North Carolina tackle, big – I'm sorry. I'm still trying to go through all these other things. Dude's a beast, man. Physically, 6'4", 300 pounds. He come out early, though. He was like, I believe he was a sophomore, a redshirt sophomore, something like that. So he's pretty young. I think he's like, I think 20 maybe. Is he 20 or 21? I think he's 21. But anyways, 6'4", 300 pound offensive tackle. Dude makes a lot of key blocks. I don't know if he's going to slide right into left tackle. Obviously, it's tough. But, I mean, if you're going to pick, in my opinion, a top 10, if I'm going to top 10 draft pick on a tackle and I don't have a left tackle, he's going to be my guy. So, I mean, I throw him in a fold. I get him ripped up and see what happens. So that's mine, Seattle at 9, Ikem Ekwonu. Nick, you got the Jets at 10.
Yeah, I ended up fell onto the Jets twice. I get to completely control their draft, and I kind of like it. I think here they go the complete opposite side of the ball, and they go with receiver. Whether they like it or not, they got Zach Wilson for their future, and in order to at least give him the best chance, you got to give him some players around him to see what success he can bring. I watched a lot of Zach Wilson last year because of the comparisons with him directly, another rookie quarterback with Trevor Lawrence. I watched all the rookie quarterbacks, and I think Zach Wilson's in for a rude awakening. I think I don't see him lasting long in this league. So try to surround him with some players. Try to surround him with some playmakers. I think they take Ohio State's Garrett Wilson, wide receiver.
Wilson, okay. So the receiver pool is pretty deep. I mean, it's been a toss-up pretty much.
I think at the top it's deep. At the top it's deep. I think
that's what I'm saying. Your first like five or six are like just toss them out there, and then I think they're all pretty comparable. But yeah, Garrett Wilson, Ohio State. Okay. I mean, I like it. He needs help. They picked Elijah Moore last year, and I loved Elijah Moore. I thought he was going to be a great pick, and he is going to be. He's that slot guy. Elijah Moore's a slot guy. He's a little burner. You're throwing Wilson at 1 or 2?
I don't. It's very rare that a rookie steps in and he's just a one-off rip. It doesn't.
Who do they have at the one?
They don't have one right now. They don't have one. But I think he's a little small to play the one. I think he has the talent to play the one. I mean, AB was a one and he was the same size. Sure. So he has the talent to do it. I think he's gonna have to step into that role though. I mean, they can find. I mean, because they still got Keelan Cole on the roster who's been steady throughout his entire career. Right. I don't think he's a one. He's also small too. But I don't know that Garrett Wilson comes in and steps in directly as the one.
Okay. Kyle, anything on that, or you want to move on to the Washington General Sentinels, whatever they are? I don't even – Commanders.
I'm good with that. I'm good with that. I'm good with Washington football team.
Washington Commanders with Carson Wentz at quarterback. At 11.
We're going to be taking a steal of a pick at 11. With Derek
Stingley. I'm about to say, it's got to be an LSU player if it's a
Derek Stingley Jr. That division, there's not much offense. The Commanders love the, defense. They love defensive line particularly. But I think they go after Stingley right here. He's probably highest on the board at 11. So you don't really blink twice at that.
I don't mind the pick. The only reason why I don't mind that pick is because of who they got up front.
Jersey, the 150.
Doesn't matter, bro. But it doesn't matter. Okay. It doesn't matter to me. That's not a bad pick. The only reason why I say that is because of who they have up front. With Sweat and Chase Young and all these guys, they've got a pretty solid front four. And to be able to get a good ball hawk, whether it would be Stingley or Sauce or, you know, even Kyle Hamilton or any of these guys that are – it's in the secondary, that's a great pick. I think, honestly, if you're Washington and you've got a premier defensive back on the board, take him. I think it's a good pick. So, I like it. Nick, anything?
I really can't argue that. I mean, I like I said, I think at one point he was a top cornerback. Injury scared me, but he could prove me wrong. And if he – If without the injury, I think he has a chance to be top five, top 10 cornerback in the league for a long time.
Okay. I think so too. think it's a good pick. Good job, Kyle. Way to make a good one. All right. I think I
graded highest on this draft grade. I told you I got the email.
There was no grading on the draft board unless you did your own individual draft boards, but
I individually graded them, and mine was by far the highest.
Okay. Yeah. Anyways, now we're going to 12 with the Minnesota Vikings and the GM with the highest rated draft, me. I'm going after Jermaine Johnson, the second. Defensive end, Florida State University.
Hey, I like that guy.
You know what? I wish I had two more thumbs so I can give them titties four thumbs down.
6'5", 250 pounds. He may have to add 15 to 20 pounds, 25 pounds, maybe. But 265, 270 is great. I think he's an absolute monster. He killed at the Senior Bowl. I don't know. I feel like he's going to set the edge well. He's going to do exactly what he needs to do. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. I like Jermaine Johnson II, defensive end, edge rusher out of Florida State University. Who's at 13? Texans. I had the Texans earlier. I went with defensive Trayvon Walker, right?
Yeah, you did. You did.
So you now have the Texans at, what is that, 13? Yes, you have the Texans at 13. Who you got?
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I kind of think it's a run on corners right now, quite a bit. Right now we're in a league where they've put a premium on the wide receiver position, and somebody's got to guard those guys. So with everybody, you know, around the league kind of adding the receiver and adding that to the priority list and kind of putting that up high, I think that they're going to start adding some defensive backs along the line. So I'm going to go with Andrew Booth Jr. from Clemson. I like him a lot. I think if he would have came out last year, he could have been pretty highly picked. I think he might be a true.
Did he redshirt?
He's
a true junior.
Is he a true junior? Okay,
but I think he's a true junior.
He was. I want to say he was an All American. He was at least first team All ACC the year prior, and he's just a standout player. I think he's a stud.
6 foot, 195. I mean, you're going to have to put 10, 15 pounds on him as well, I think. I think he needs
maybe. The league has gotten smaller. The receivers are getting a little bit smaller and skinnier and faster. I feel like the game's getting so fast that you don't necessarily have to be as large. Like Jermaine Johnson, I wanted to kind of touch on that pick just because he is small, and I think he's going to get bodied by a lot of the larger offensive linemen in this league. And, you know, Jermaine Johnson, he's a one-hit wonder. You talk about some of the other players in this draft, and I think Jermaine Johnson is a one-hit wonder. And he you know, he left Georgia because he couldn't play. You see all those studs on Georgia's team; he couldn't make it along those guys. So I mean,
you could similarly say the same thing about Andrew Booth. He was highly recruited. He was a five-star athlete coming out of Georgia. Went to Clemson. He comes out and gets exposed this year. They caught 29 out of 46 balls on him this year, dude. That's well over 50%. You're talking from Sauce Gardner and a lockdown cornerback and Derek Stingley Jr. who can lock somebody down, and then you're going to draft Andrew Booth Jr. who's given up 29 out of 46?
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't come at me for Jermaine Johnson in a second.
Absolutely, when you're I love it. Because he's letting everybody else catch the ball. The kid has tremendous upside. Look at his measurables.
He's just barely 6 foot. I think he's 5'11 and 7'8". He's not even 6 foot.
And he ran a sub. He ran a sub 4.40.
Okay, and so does everybody else in the fucking NFL, dude.
And his ball skills are ridiculous.
Well, you know what? Ball skills better be great because his fucking defensive ability, his coverage ability, ain't worth a shit.
Yeah.
Anyways,
Andrew Booth would lock you down. He'd put you in a phone booth. You'd be calling him Andrew Phone Booth. You'd be calling him Andrew Phone Booth.
I'm also 37 years old. I mean, shit.
And washed up.
Yeah, we're about to find out. We're going to find out.
I don't hear Tom Brady making no excuses, Playboy.
Yeah.
Okay, Tom Brady is on a different level. You know what his diet is. You know,
he claims to be a realist all the time. I mean, geez.
All right. Jeez. You make me sick.
Baltimore's on the clock at 14.
And Baltimore is going to take center from Iowa, Tyler Lindenbaum. This is a true center. He's a mauler. He's a very intelligent, headsy guy.
He's corn fed. He's from Iowa. Who cares?
He is absolutely stout. The Ravens need a center big time. They've been shuffling guards in and out of that position to try and fulfill it. This is a guy that's been all Big Ten pretty much the last 2 years of his career. So I think this is a solid pick for them. And on the big board, you just look at the big board as well. This is fits need and almost best player available. So, I mean, it's win-win.
I think it's a great pick. 6'2", 300 pounds. Dude was a wrestler. He's a mauler, like you said. He's corn fed. He's from Iowa, dude. I mean.
Yeah, they put out I don't know, dude.
He's a really headsy player. He's a really headsy player.
Absolutely. I think that
leads that line and it makes a lot of plays.
You got guys in that Big Ten and that Iowa, Illinois, anybody in that Big Ten area like that, you know, Wisconsin, all that stuff. I think guard and centers, they crush. I think it's a great pick. Baltimore needs somebody up front. Solid pick, man. I'll give you that one.
Beep, beep, beep. Yeah, Eagles, so I like the pick, but Eagles, I got it. Are we going to stop at 16?
Go ahead. Are we stopping
at 16?
No, we ain't stopping it. Come on. We're pushing.
Right, so basically, I like the pick, and I think for all the same reasons Kyle said, they got to figure out a way to keep Lamar Jackson. I think offensive line is something that he needs. It's a big deal. But, man, they need weapons. And like y'all said, the draft is kind of top heavy with these receivers, but they need weapons bad.
But Hollywood Brown is what they got, right? And Mark Andrews is a stud at tight end. You got one.
There's still
two
guys on the board right now. They're still good. My
thing is
Hollywood Brown. I mean, is that? I think Lamar Jackson can kind of cover up some of your fallacies on the offensive line, some of your failures on the offensive line. Whereas he needs help on the outside.
Did they make the playoffs last year?
No, but they lost six straight
games.
They were a team that was winning games in bad circumstances.
Was that?
What are you watching?
I got both TVs on. I'm watching a little Sports Center games of the NBA playoffs from earlier, and I got LSU spring game on.
That's crazy because I could have swore we were having a fucking podcast right now.
I'm paying attention to everything. How about
you're not as talkative as you need to be.
I think 16 is a good place.
It's hard to be when your ass is long-winded as hell. That Rob's damn red face, his damn jersey's damn same color as Nick. Look at that thing. What?
Anyways, we're moving
on.
We're going to get going. We'll move quicker to these last ones. Don't worry. 15, Philadelphia is on the clock. I got Jameson Williams, wide receiver, Alabama. I mean, you want to talk about speed? You want to talk about somebody who came out of nowhere? But the last 2 years, the kid's balled out, so – I think he'll be a great compliment. I don't think they hit with Rager. I think they missed with Rager. I think with Jalen Hurts, you're going to have to give the guy options. It's very similar to Baltimore with Lamar Jackson. I think Jalen Hurts is a similar player. I don't think he's as talented as Lamar, obviously, but I don't know. I think they're the same player. He needs weapons. He's got a good set in the backfield. But yeah, I don't think he's got enough weapons. So I take Jameson Williams at 15. 16's the New Orleans Saints. They're on the clock. Nick Bob, you're up.
Yep. New Orleans Saints, then they did not re-sign Teron Armstead. They need help on the offensive line. Still think they might need a quarterback, but I think they've kind of invested into Jameis Winston as their future for at least one more year. I'm gonna go with Charles Cross on the offensive line.
As a Saints fan, Kyle, are you okay with that pick?
Yeah. I mean, if any time you could build on, you know, that line of scrimmage, whether it be offensive or defensive line, and Cross is a solid ball player. I mean, I believe he could play inside as well. So he's a guy that can help out day one. So it's a solid pick. Maybe not the sexiest, but, you know, Sean Payton was never sexy with picks either. So.
Well, you're still talking. Keep it on the board. You got 17. You have the Chargers. Who do you have going 17?
I have Trevor Penning, offensive tackle.
I mean, it is an offensive line role right now. Keep it up, though.
Yeah. He's labeled as a tackle. But the reason I like him is because his versatility. He plays anywhere on the line of scrimmage outside of center. So he plays on the right side and on the left side, inside and out. That's a guy that can play right tackle for the Chargers. I'm not sure about day one, but I think obviously if you pick him this high, he's going to be somebody that will get a lot of looks there. So, I mean, and by all accounts, it's somebody that can handle it as well. If you look at the big board, you know, as far as like where this guy's mocked to go, this is also a value pick as well as need for the Chargers. So somebody that's going to help keep.
Another one of those Division II guys, that Northern Illinois guy. Like, you know, you get those guys, those Ham Hawks. I think it's a good pick. I think you're going to have to get help. You're in the AFC West, and every team out there has got some maulers on the edge. So I think any help that you can get on that offensive line is necessary. So. I chimed in. I have 18. I have Philadelphia. I'm going on the other side of the board. I'm taking N'Kobe Dean. I think the dude that in this league that we have, it's all about speed. N'Kobe Dean has got some wheels, not just straight line, but he's a coverage linebacker. Kind of small, 5'11", 230. But then again, like I said, I mean, you've got a lot of slot receivers. You got a lot of guys that are crossing, running across the middle, doing their routes and their patterns across the field. And it's hard to keep up. I think this guy is what they need. They need somebody on the defensive side. I almost went like Jordan Davis because they lost Fletcher Cox. And I'm like, okay, you lose that big heart on the inside. Maybe go that route. I'm not sold on Jordan Davis, so I didn't go with him. I went N'Kobe Dean. Nick, what do you think?
I don't have a problem with N'Kobe Dean. I was, you know, hoping he falls, you know, into the second round because that's a need for Jacksonville, and I've seen him mock to the second round. But hey, I think he's a hell of a player, and couldn't argue with him being drafted that high.
Okay, well, you at 19 with the Saints. Who you got?
Yeah, I rolled the Saints again, and I got your sexy pick here. I think Kyle. They're going to go wide receiver. They have Mike Thomas, but outside of that, they don't have much. They're going to go Chris Olave. He's a different type of receiver. He can stretch the field, get open. I think he could be a number one, but, man, he'll really, really fit in well as a number two and give them some more options.
And he's
Ohio State.
Ohio State. Chris Olave from same Ohio place, State. Yeah, which is the same place Michael Thomas is from. So They have that brotherhood. Kyle, what do you think? As a Saints fan yet again, what do you think? Good pick?
Well, I think the Saints have a fascination with drafting Ohio State players in general. Just look at the roster of the last 8 years.
Yeah, Lattimore.
I would say they've drafted a ton. Why is the safety Bell? He was from there.
Vaughn Bell.
I mean, a lot of guys are from there. I think he'd fit in well. I mean, it's like I don't know what they're going to run on offense, but –
right.
It's like the same kind of scheme that they've always had. We'll see, you know, Devery Henderson gets over the top. Ted Ginn Jr. gets over the top. Kenny Stills gets over the top. So this is a guy that's, you know, that same size with that same speed. So we'll see what happens.
Okay.
I think it's a good pick, though, absolutely.
Saints
need weapons. And I'm...
Yeah, no, I get you. All right, you're still on the clock. Now you're on the clock, Kyle. The Pittsburgh Steelers are picking at 20. Who you got, Kyle?
I'm going to go with Jordan Davis. Steelers have been getting, you know, I think the Steelers need another anchor in that line. At least somebody to give some release to TJ Watt, you know, that could come a little bit more free. And I think Jordan Davis would be that guy that you could bring in. I'm not saying he's going to be, you know, a great pass rush guy because we've all seen that on film. He's not. So, but I think he is somebody that can, you know, change the pace of the game and control the run game. So I think I like this pick with the Steelers.
Just a bit odd, but I do have a question. Why not go quarterback here? I understand that they signed Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, well, it's who was there. Like I like Malik Willis, but at that pick, I like him there. But if we're looking at any other quarterback, I'm not sold with my pick right there on another quarterback that's most likely not going to give me – that's not going to impact the game for me. I need a player right now that's going to impact the game for me if I'm the Steelers. Because at this point they've got Teddy and they've got a couple other backups. So, I mean, I think at this point, if it's not Malik Willis, if it's not somebody that could, you know, threaten the start, he needs to be somebody that's going to contribute. And I think Jordan Davis is going to be a big-time contributor for them.
I get that. The only issue I have is Jordan Davis's size. It's a big dude.
Yes.
It's a big league. It's a big boy league in his size.
And we saw it.
How many downs? We all saw, right? You all saw the championship game where he played one play and he went off three, four plays, and then he come back.
The SEC championship game where he's literally just standing there doing nothing. Yeah, so no, I mean,
I know,
I get it. But that's somebody that's going to affect the run game at 100% and take double teams, and you could, you know, put him in there, and TJ Watt's going to be able to fly around. So,
right.
But I agree 100%. This is, you know, he's going to get run off the field a lot because of the way the pace is going. Yeah. And then there's no huddle. He's going to be a liability at some point. But, yeah, I mean, he's a heck of a talent.
I got you. Well, I'll continue on. I've got 21. I've got the Patriots. And I'm going to go with, in my opinion, I think is a more of a Bill Belichick pick. I actually thought this is who you were going to pick, Nick, when you took Booth. I thought McDuffie. I'm picking Trent McDuffie, cornerback from Washington. I feel like he's the same player as Andrew Booth, in my opinion, very, very similar. Same size, pretty much 5'11 and a half, 195 pounds. I don't know. I feel like he hadn't allowed a whole lot of catches, like 16, I think, out of 40 or something like that, or 30. He's got a little better percentage than what Booth had. I thought actually you go with him, but I picked I like Trent McDuffie. I think Belichick, they lost J.C. Jackson. They got to pick up somebody to get on the outside. They put him in the corner. I think he'll be okay in Belichick's schemes that he puts him in. So what do you think, Nick?
I agree. As far as them going corner, I think it's a no-brainer. They traded Stephon Gilmore and then let J.C. Jackson walk. I also think that Bill Belichick believes that he can just plug any corner into his scheme and they're going to be successful. Because if you look at it throughout history, they have been. I mean, I think at one point, if you remember, Troy Brown played corner for them.
Yeah.
He switched over from receiver and played some corner for them. So, I mean, he could pretty much plug and play and get somebody to have you know, somewhat success. Kid out of Washington. Trent McDuffie's out of Washington. So, if I remember correctly, they have two stud corners out of there. And when you have two good corners, it just kind of makes me iffy on which one you want to grab because you don't know which one was a product of the other one being great.
Right.
Because that can happen. A lot of times a player can get interceptions. A player can get just more looks or just better opportunities because of how good the player is on the other side of the ball.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. I got it. You're on clock, Nick. You have Green Bay at 22.
Okay, so Green Bay.
You're going to give some help for Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, got to. I think ultimately they were going to go receiver. I really like Drake London. I think Drake London is the better receiver here. But I'm going Jahan Dotson. I don't think they got much out of – they drafted Amari Rodgers last year out of Clemson. He's a similar player, I think. Right. But you got no production out of him. Randall Cobb, he ain't the guy as much as Aaron Rodgers wants him to be. And if you're not letting Aaron Rodgers make this pick, I think you're making the pick that's best for your team. I think Aaron Rodgers needs a guy like Jahan Dotson. I think that's what Randall Cobb's supposed to do. I think that's what Amari Rodgers is supposed to do. But that's what Jahan Dotson is going to do.
Okay. Not a lot of size. I think he'll be that slot guy that you're talking about. I guess like that I call him a scat receiver. It's like a scat back. You're just kind of like, you know, Darren Sproles. You're out in the flats. You're running little cuts, the yo-yo route, stuff like that.
He's physical for a small guy, but you're right.
No, he's I mean, but then again, I mean, look at Tyreek Hill. Look at all these guys that are that size. I mean, he proved at Penn State. He's not easy to cover.
He's like, quick. Kyle, is Tyreek Hill a one? Like, I mean, at that size, like, do you get to call a Tyreek Hill a one? Because
he runs a lot of routes over the middle and drag routes and stuff like that. Like, I mean, Marvin Harrison was a one, but a small one.
Right. No, I got you. Kyle, what do you think? You like Jahan Dotson? Do you like Dotson over somebody like Drake London? Or like
I mean, for me, I like a bigger physical receiver that can go up and get it. So I would say London, but I mean, like, it's preference. It's all, you know, because these are still, you know, good ball players. I mean, you're not, you know, talking about like a second or third round guy.
They have him and Alan Lazard. They have a similar player to Drake London.
I was about to say, don't they have – that's the only – because they lost Valdez-Scantling, right?
Yeah. And look, and Al Lazard, I mean, when he was at Iowa State, because he was part of that team that knocked off Oklahoma, mm-hmm. and Alan Lazard led the league. He led the nation in touchdowns that year with like 13 touchdown catches. So he was a player in college. He just didn't get drafted because he's 6'4" and ran like a 4 foot – I mean, ran like a 4'7", 4'6". He was pretty slow and didn't get much love in the draft, but the dude's produced and he's been productive under Aaron Rodgers as well.
He's still producing. So, Kyle, 23, Arizona. Where are you going?
Yeah, Arizona, we're going edge rushers. Arizona's got to be able to get after the quarterback, and then we're going to go with George Karloftis. Also another value pick and another need pick, if you see the trend that I'm going on. But Arizona's got to be able to get after the quarterback, especially in the league they're in. They need somebody that could hold the edge and stop the run, because in that division you got teams that like to run in Seattle and in San Francisco, and so you got to be able to, you know, be versatile. And I think he's a versatile DN that fits in well there.
Well, I think with them losing Chandler Jones, I think they're going to need somebody to come up and step up. I think he's a good, solid player. I think he's got a good build to him. And I don't mind that pick. You're at 23. I think he's like a top 20 rated player. You know, he could go anywhere between about 15 and 25. I think it's a good pick as well. I like it. So I'm up 24, Cowboys. I mean, I hate the Cowboys, and I didn't draft like I hated the Cowboys. I did go with a country boy, a homegrown player. I went with tackle from Central Michigan, Bernard Raymond, or I think it's Raymond. Well, he's not from here, obviously, so it could be Ryman, or I don't know, but. I think they need help on tackle. They need offensive line help. They need tackle help. I just think the guy fits well. He could go with any tackle. He could probably play the guard. I think his size, though, keeps him really more of a tackle. Probably a small reach. I did watch the film on him earlier today. Just to kind of see what I was getting into.
Reach, are we talking about with a small reach?
No, I don't think it's a small reach. It's a small reach because they had you've got other players like Zion Johnson that you could have plugged in at guard. Kenyon Green could have gone at guard. You had a couple other players, but I don't think it's a big reach. A lot of mocks I've seen actually have him going early second as well, all the way up to late first. But they do have some going mid second. I just think he's a good player. I think he's going to fit well. He's just one of those tough nose. I think he's one of those tough nose players, man. I like him. You look at somebody like Kyle Van Der Esch, and I feel like he's like the same type of player, just on the offensive side. So I don't know. That's how I feel. Nick, what do you think? I mean,
I'm okay with it. It's definitely a need. It's definitely a need, and it's not so much a reach just because he's the next best player on the board at that position. So it's a team need, and I think the Cowboys are good enough right now that they're in a position where they could pick team need over best player available.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like he's a bad player. He was an all-MAC selection. So as far as position grade, if, like you said, if you're looking at that player, you've got Evan Neal, right? You've got Ekwonu. And I think Bernard Robinson's up there. I mean, Bernard Raymond's up there. Other person I like was Max Mitchell. It was either him or Max Mitchell, honestly. When I started looking at it as far as tackle-wise, it was him or Max Mitchell to me. So, anyways, Nick, I think it's you. Yep. Buffalo at 25.
We got Buffalo, Buffalo.
Buffalo Bills at 25. So, look,
I think this Buffalo team is ready to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, I don't think Buffalo's ready to win a Super. I don't think Buffalo's ready to win a Super Bowl.
I don't think they're ready for that one either, bud.
I don't think they're ready to win a Super Bowl.
Josh Allen and ready for the Super Bowl. Well, I mean, so did he even get his pick in? No pick. Did he text you his pick?
Yep, I got his pick.
He text you his pick.
I got his pick. He's probably gonna try to come back. He picks. Oh, wow. Okay. First rounder, halfback, running back.
Woo!
From Bo Iowa Jackson. State. From Iowa State. Breece Hall.
Well, I guess obviously he thinks they're championship ready, and that's their guy. So, I mean, I'm not going to argue with it. I've never heard of the guy before. You just said his name. So,
Breece Hall? Breece Hall was like, I think he's one of the most, as far as record wise, at Iowa State, he was like the number one running back for like 2 years in a row, if I'm not mistaken, in like the Big Ten or whatever, for sure. Or Big 12, sorry. I like him as a running back. I don't like him in the first round. I don't like any running back this year in the first round, but that's just me.
Yeah, no.
He's, as far as I know, he was a menace running back. He was a big running back.
He was a load, but I mean,
he's like 6 foot, 220 pounds, something like that.
I feel like Buffalo already has like two of those same running backs though. Like, is it me or I feel like they have a few of those, but.
And that was the thing with me. The problem is with Buffalo last year, it was running back with committee. Buffalo has three running backs.
Yeah.
At least last year, I know they had three running backs because I lost my ass on them because they have Matt Breida who went over there. He came over there from San Francisco. What's the other? Singletary, who is their number one.
Yep.
And there's another one that I don't know. The reason why I don't know is because I lost all my fantasy money on them because they had three running backs and they kept
mixing. Hurt. I can't, for whatever reason, I can't remember who it was.
Well, yeah. Breida was hurt during the year and Singletary, I believe, got banged up as well. They all went through some injuries. I'm not sure if they re-signed any of them anyways. You know, I obviously, as doing my journalism shit, I didn't research Buffalo. But we'll speed through it. 26, Tennessee.
Tennessee. I like wide receiver from USC, Drake London, for the Titans at 26. I think they're a big physical team all the way around. That's how Mike Vrabel wants to build his team. I think it's not just how he wants to build a team. I think it's the identity of the organization. Even dating back to Eddie George, they want to be bigger, stronger, and just dominate you. And I think that this is a good pick for, you know, on the other side of the field from A.J. Brown, another big, solid receiver with good hands.
I think he's going to – I mean, obviously he's not as dominant as what like a Julio Jones is. I mean, he maybe is now because Julio is falling.
He's too slim to be a Julio. But
what I'm getting at is, you know, he may bring that presence that Julio didn't bring last year.
Absolutely.
I think he's going to give an option. I think it's a good pick. So I have Tampa Bay next, 27. There was a couple of linemen I was looking at. I feel like they need linemen. They do have Worfs at tackle. I felt like they needed a guard. There was two guards to choose from, Zion Johnson and Kenyon Green. I think those were my top two rated guards. I went Kenyon Green. Somewhat homer pick, but I watched a lot of Kenyon Green tape, and there was a couple of times that he made some mistakes, but for the most part, he's an all-SEC player, first-team all-SEC at guard for like 3 years in a row. He's been starting as a freshman. Yeah. I mean, he's a solid pick. I think he's probably if you're finding him in the late first round, I think he's a great pick.
There's one, and he's got
NFL skill set.
There's one thing that no one argued with A&M up front, and that was their offensive defensive line. They had studs. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I think it's a good pick.
Okay. Let's see.
Nick should know his order, so he should.
Yeah, he's got it.
Hopefully, rattling off to you.
Yeah, he's got Quay Walker, Green Bay, at 28. I believe that's the linebacker from Georgia, right? The other linebacker from Georgia, Quay Walker.
Yeah, that's.
I think that's an okay pick. I mean, they need linebacker help.
They do, but I mean, that's still no help for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, when and where do you?
They gave him. I mean, he picked Dotson.
So Lazard and Dotson. I mean, we need to get
Lazard, Dotson, there. Cobb. I get it. I mean, what's the tight end? You had
most of those guys when you had Davante Adams as well, and they still didn't do much. So I mean, it's alarming. You got to get guys in there. You've got to pump playmakers into that offense ASAP for Aaron Rodgers. So I mean,
yeah, no, I get it.
I go linebacker there.
Yeah,
but I mean, Here's the thing. They do need linebacker help,
and they have no linebackers,
and he's a absolute stud. So I mean,
he's gonna be a stud for sure.
How many years in a row now if this is Nick's pick, is Green Bay not just going to just shit on Aaron Rodgers and get him some help?
I mean, I get that, but Green Bay. They have two in the first and two in the second, if I'm not mistaken, because from Las Vegas. Yeah. So, What outside of whoever's left, I think the only wide receiver really left in that top echelon would be George Pickens. Everybody after that is a good, solid receiver. Now, you've got somebody in Alan Lazard, a big, big player, not a ton of speed. You pick up Dotson, who's a Tyreek Hill-like player, kind of short, stocky, with a lot of speed, a lot of elusiveness. I wouldn't go back and pick Pickens. The only person that I could see them picking, and this is just me throwing that out there, what is the tight end? Where's he from? There's a tight end. I'm trying to think of where he's from. I know there's a tight end.
The only stud what tight school? End I really remember, I think Notre Dame had one, and I know A&M had one.
Colorado State. Yeah, A&M has one. That's at Jalen Wattemeyer, and I think he's going to go in the probably third round.
Yeah.
And Green Bay may get him, but Trey McBride, the dude from Colorado State, 6'4", 250 at tight end. But he's ranked low. I mean, that's a reach in the first round. I don't mind this pick. I like the Dotson pick or any wide receiver at that 22 spot. But outside of Pickens, who's pretty much the same player, in my opinion, as Lazard, like, I'm okay with pretty much anything to help out some defense. Because, let's be honest, you know, yeah, you might need to give Rodgers some help, but it was a snowy-ass game, and you got beat by a hot-weather team in San Francisco. So, I don't know. I like the pick. I like Quay Walker at linebacker. So, I'm good with it. We're down to the last four picks. Kansas City's on the clock. You got them?
Yeah, I got somebody that needs to replace a.
Actually, they're back to back, Kansas City.
Yeah, they're back to back. Actually, I think it's me right now. Yeah.
Yeah, it's you, then me.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm, I'm taking safety Daxton Hill.
Okay.
I know he's got he's a ball player, all Big Ten guy for the last 2 years, stud in the secondary. The pass game, and he's also another guy that could come down and affect the run game. Yeah. He's gonna fill that void that Tyrann Mathieu's gonna leave, and I think he's also a guy that's going to a championship ready team that can affect something ASAP. So
yeah, is he more of a safety or is he more
he can play corner or safety. He's got
like a rover. Skill. Okay.
He can do really anything. He's got, and he's at a decent size.
Yeah, he's 6 foot.
I think he's around six and a half. Two, right?
He's 6 foot, but he's like 6 foot and half an inch or something like that. Almost six foot.
He's real rangy, and he packs a punch. So I think that's a solid pick for Kansas
City. I think you're right. If you're losing someone like Tyrann Mathieu, I think it's a pretty good pick. I don't have a problem with it. As far as I'm trying to read his last pick or his next pick, if he's got one. Okay.
Yeah, just rattle the final three since we did those all together. You might as well just rattle those off and just
We're going through them.
How we kind of came to a
Kansas City goes at 30 again. I actually went back to back with you, both Kansas City, and then I actually went.
You went back to back with Nick
back,
earlier.
What school was that?
The Eagles. You had the Eagles. Oh, you're talking about back-to-back schools with
– Yeah, no, players. Back-to-back schools. So you picked Kansas City for Michigan. I'm picking for Kansas City. I'm actually also picking for Michigan as well. I'm going with David Ojabo.
Okay.
I don't think outside of Frank Clark, they don't really have anybody.
Don't they stop Chandler Chris Jones?
No, he's not there no more.
Christian.
Well, he's there, but I think he's more of a defensive tackle. Chris Jones is a defensive tackle,
but I mean, the last 3 years.
But far as that edge rusher, all they have is Frank Clark. They had Houston,
Lamar. And Frank Houston, Clark and Frank Clark's not Houston lighting is. The world on fire either. So
no, and Frank Clark is. I mean, he's not old. I think he's only like 28.
But he's a good player, but he's like you said, he's not lighting the world.
But I went back to back Michigan. And went David Ojabo. Let's see. 31, Cincinnati. I think they need help on the line. I said that in the text. I said earlier it was Kenyon Green or Zion Johnson. I picked Kenyon Green for Tampa Bay. I feel like Kenyon Green's a little bit more ready. I would select somebody like Zion Johnson with this pick just simply because they need help. Outside of him, there's not really anybody to me that like overly stands out. There's some good solid players, but I think he's the best fit on a line that I think Joe Burrows needs a little bit of help with. He was the most sacked quarterback in the NFL. The first thing I'm doing is drafting offensive linemen.
Well, yeah, I mean, they needed help. Keyword needed help. They've actually done a lot of work. You've got Jonah Williams now that's healthy coming back. You've added Leo Collins.
But those are both tackles, right?
Yeah, who is a all pro, not just a pro bowler. He's an all pro. So if you add, a guard in there and then you can piece together some more stuff. I mean, they've done some work in free agency and then you piece some more stuff, with this draft. I like the pick. I think they need to go guard or center in this first pick to really solidify their line. And if you have three guys that you feel really, really good about on the offensive line in the NFL, you're in really good shape. So
I mean, you could borderline load that side up.
Yeah.
And then send your back for helping on the weak side.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're solid at both tackles right now. I mean, I know John.
Right. Load up, put him at guard on the right side or the left side. Put him on the left side and just send your running back to the right. So, last pick, Detroit Lions got it from the Rams for the golf trade. What do you like right here? Like, honestly, if you're Detroit, you pick Kyle Hamilton at two, you're sitting there and you're thinking, dude, what do I need?
In this division, I need playmakers because no one has playmakers in this division. Green Bay refuses, like we talked about. Chicago rarely ever has a playmaker.
Chicago didn't even have first round pick.
Exactly. You need a playmaker at this point. You got one on the defensive side. Now you need one on the offensive side. I know it's going to be kind of head scratching, but for me, I like George Pickens there. I think George Pickens has been a five-star player since he was a freshman since he was a senior, junior, senior in high school. A all SEC, all American type talent. Now he didn't always make it there because of who was throwing him the football and what type of system they ran at Georgia. But anywhere else, this guy is an absolute stud. He's a menace, and I like him there. He reminds me a lot of Calvin Johnson, the way he goes up and gets the ball.
Sure.
But I think it's a good fit, and they need weapons. I mean, they need weapons, and if you can't – Jared Goff's not type that's going to make stuff happen for you like Aaron Rodgers can. So he needs guys. He needs coaching. He needs help.
Yeah. I look at it with George Pickens. Obviously he's coming off the torn ACL, but we've seen guys come off injuries before. Odell Beckham's come off.
Well, he played in the championship game and looked fine.
And that's one game. I get that. But you're about to go through a 17-game season. You got other guys out there. They've got the kid from Western Michigan, Moore. They got him there. They have him high. I'm going to have to go back. I want to go back and look at some film on this kid, the Moore kid from Western Michigan. I know he's tiny, though. He's 5'10 or something, 5'11. He's not big at all. Pickens gives you an advantage. He's like 6'3, 6'4. What about other guys, though, that if you think about, what about like John Mechie? Like, you don't see John Mechie. John Mechie has been there and done that. He was at Alabama. He played at the Creme de la Creme. I know that Pickens has too, but Pickens missed some games. But as far as like, dude, there's not many people out there that are running routes like John Mechie. Like, he's a route runner. He reminds me of Devontae Smith, from Alabama. Obviously, they went to the same thing. They did the same stuff. And they were 1-2, right? And he's got, if I'm not mistaken, isn't his speed like a burner?
No, he's not a burner. He's not a burner.
It's the other kid. That was the burner.
Yeah, he's a deep crosser guy. Yeah, Jameson's the burner. He's a deep crosser guy who gets open. And, I mean, he makes a lot of plays. A lot of his catches are touchdowns or first downs. So
you got guys out there, wide receiver, Sky Moore, who they are projecting in the first round. The George Pickens, who he's ranked in the top 30. I don't know if he'll go in the first round. I could see it at 32. That's not a bad pick. Jalen Tolbert, the kid from South Alabama, who's kind of rising up the board a lot. 6'1", 6'2 guy. He's a deep ball threat at 6'1", 6'2", so, which is really good, which is needed in the league to take the top off. You know, I don't know. I'm okay with the pick. I think if you're going to get a playmaker, I don't find that being that bad of a playmaker. I like Pickens. Pickens or Sky Moore. I looked his name up, by the way. It's Sky Moore, just so you know.
Sky Moore.
I have to look at some of his stuff because I haven't seen jack shit on him.
Oh, he's a ball player.
He's only a sophomore, redshirt sophomore, so he's young. But yeah, I'll have to look at some stuff on him. They said he breaks a shitload of tackles. 26 broken tackles last year. That's a high.
Check out his highlight tape.
I'm going to check him out. They think he's a second rounder, which if they think he's a second rounder, then Pickens ranked below him. Pickens is definitely going to be pushed to a second. But actually, they're saying Pickens would be a third rounder. They have him projected as a third round pick. I don't know, dude. That's tough. I don't know. That's crazy. Anyways, that's it. We're done. The round one is done. It took about 20 minutes longer than we wanted, but that's okay. Wasn't too bad. We had a couple technical difficulties. We lost one of our hosts who I have no idea where he's at. He texted me a couple times with the picks, and then I don't know.
We know where he's at. So, we know exactly. He's on the couch.
Next to Baker Mayfield.
So,
guys, we appreciate you tuning in. Those of you who joined us on the live Facebook, those of you who are watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe. We're going to post this one up. This is ready on YouTube. It'll be also available on any podcast streaming network. That's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the other podcasts. Wherever podcasts are found, that's where we're found. So, but we appreciate you guys so much. As always, we still don't have like a ending thing, like courts adjourned shit.
We need a nice little song. We need something
to end it off right.
Something to make it happen, man.
Whatever. All right, guys. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. Till next time.
See ya.
Giggle.